Well, I've appreciated all the music and the talent that is being shared in these meetings thus far, and look forward to the rest of the week that way. We're going to turn back again to Romans chapter 6. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn there with me. You'll find out that one of the things I do when I preach camp meetings or revivals or anything like that is I tend not to preach pastoral messages. So you're probably not going to hear a message on how to have a better prayer life or any of that type of stuff. When I come to meetings like this, I want to challenge people about their souls and about their faith in Jesus Christ to save them and sanctify them and meet their every need that way. Because I know life. When I was a young person, I can't tell you how many times I went to the altar and how many times I sought Jesus to forgive my sins. And within sometimes a few days, sometimes I'd make it a month or two, I'd be right back where I was before, doing the same old things I did before. And I never came to the place. It took me a long time, and maybe I'm just a little slow, where I got to the place where I could really trust Jesus to save me from my sins and to sanctify my heart and to keep me and to live in me and be my strength and be my shepherd and watch over my life. And if I just leaned on him, he could help me make it all the way through. But I know how life is. And I know how easy it is to backslide. I know how easy it is to let go some foundations we had. And so I'm coming to you this week challenging you to again place your faith in Jesus for who he is. And tonight we have some good news in Romans chapter 6. We've been looking at that each evening. If you're able, I'd like you to stand with me, and we're just going to read the 23rd verse. We've been looking at this for two nights, and for the wages of sin, we looked at that, is death, and we looked at that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee tonight with all of our heart, and we don't have any aspirations of what we can accomplish here. Lord, we settle that all day in prayer, that we're so small. And if you don't come and help people to hear and help the preacher to preach and come upon this service and glorify your name in it, Lord, we're just going to have a pretty empty service here tonight. And so, Lord, all day long we pray, come, pour yourself out, meet our every need. Show yourself God. Pour out your spirit. Bring conviction where needed. Lord, bring comfort where needed. Save those who need to be saved and sanctify those who need to be sanctified. Fill those with the spirit, Lord, that need you in your fullness. So, Lord, I pray that you would glorify your name that way in this church service tonight. I pray, Lord, as I've prayed all day long again, that you would give everyone right now, even as I'm praying, a yes to the Holy Spirit in their heart, so that no one walks out of here in any way short of what Jesus can do for them. And Father, for that, we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the first two messages, I've heard this many times in 2 days. So uplifting. Not. They're not the most encouraging messages in all the world when you're preaching on the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the awfulness of hell. I understand that. But we're living in a day where we're losing the sense of the awfulness of sin and the awfulness of hell. And I spent time and two full messages on that because I think we need to see the desperateness of the condition we're in. We need to sense the desperateness of the condition our church world's in today when we don't hear this preached about anymore. We don't hear people talking about the fact that Jesus Christ can save us from our sins and meet our every need. Jesus. more and more we're living in a world that seems like we're kind of leaning on one another more than we're leaning on Jesus. And I don't get it, because Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the sanctifier. Jesus is the answer. He's the one we need to lean on. And I know that there's the body of Christ, and I love the body of Christ, and I love loving everybody in the body of Christ. I love hugging people. If you'd like to be hugged, come on up. I'll give you a hug. I wasn't like that like 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I didn't want to be hugged. You know, I didn't want any of that frilly stuff. You know, I just didn't like it too well. But I love the family of God. And it's such a joy to come to camp meeting and just be with people of like mind and like heart and fellowship and joy. And it's a great thing. But again, I want to come back to this theme. And I don't know if I did a good enough job of just showing you how awful and wrong those two things are, sin and hell. But on preaching on those two things, they show us something. We are in desperate need of a Savior. And so I want to begin this message by reading several scriptures, beginning with 1 John 1:29, which says this: "Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world." You believe that? Yes. Colossians 1:14, "In Christ we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "We all know, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All old things are passed away, all things, behold, are new." 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin." And then one more, Revelation 1:5, "Who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth? Unto him who loves us and washes us from our sins in his own blood." Now, friends, you and I know that I could go on and read scripture after scripture and quote scripture after scripture of all the verses that show us what a great Savior that Jesus is. Friends, we have a Jesus who is our salvation, who touches, overcomes, conquers all that sin has done in this world, all that sin does to us, and all that sin does in us. And friends, we ought to sit back when we start talking about Jesus. We ought to just sit back and say, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. Thank you, Jesus. He is a mighty Savior." And friends, out of all the people in this world that we need, the one person we need, that person is Jesus. Out of all the things in this world that we need, His salvation is the one thing we need. And yet we know, don't we, that people in the world seemingly want everything else but Jesus. They want a boyfriend, and they want a girlfriend. They want sports. They want cars. They want houses. They want money, and they want lands, and they want money, and they want a good retirement, and they want money, and they want an easy life, and they want money. But so many don't seek and have the one thing they need, and that is Jesus, a Savior, a rescuer, a deliverer from our sins and from hell. Amen. And yet, Jesus is the need of the hour, of the day in which we live. Now, I said the other day, I believe we're living in the last days. And I think we lose track of that a little bit in America. But when you look at the Middle East and all that's going on there, and you read in Revelation where it says a certain amount of people are going to be killed before Jesus comes back again and so forth, 92,000 Christian martyrs just last year alone in the Middle East and China and North Vietnam and some of those countries, North Korea and other countries. 92,000 Christian martyrs. We always look at United States and we think we got all the time in the world. Jesus is coming anytime soon. And we don't see the famines. We don't see the thirst. We don't see all that. God has blessed us in America with an abundance. But friends, when you look at the Middle East, we are in desperate times. And when you look at America, behind the scenes, beyond our comfortable little worlds and the church and all that, it's a mess out there. I mean, the war and the crime and everything that's going on, it is scary out there. And friends, it is the scariest place in all the world. And we live in this world. And I'm saying to you that if you want victory in this world, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life, and He alone is going to be able to deliver you. He alone is going to be your answer. Now, friends, just let me say this. There are a lot of good things in the Bible. In fact, I'm a big Bible guy. That's nice for a preacher to be, right? I like the Bible. There is instruction about living. There is instruction on how to raise your kids. There is instruction about who to marry and not marry. There is instruction about prayer. We're having that in our morning studies. There is, I think, everything we need in this book essential to life and living it taught to us right here. But the real message of God's word is found in the words of the angel when he said, "There is born in the city of David a Savior." And friends, everything from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation points to that one thing, that we need a deliverer, we need a rescuer, we need a savior, we need one that will save us out of the mess of sin, change our hearts, save us from the mess that leads to death and from death itself. And in fact, the word savior implies that we have something desperate that we need to be saved from. And friends, God would not have come to deal with sin and sent His only begotten Son into this world and give His life and go through all He went through if there wasn't something desperate we needed to be saved from. And praise God, the other side of that is how much He loves us that He would do that. I mean, I will never get it in my mind and in my thinking and all the time I've spent with the Word and with Jesus and everything else, how God the Father could send His own Son Jesus for me. That ought to blow us away over and over and over again. That Jesus would give His life for me. Now, I don't know what you think about yourself. I know who I am. I know what I like. I know what I'm like. I know the things I think. I know everything about myself pretty good. And I'm absolutely amazed that God would love me and send His only Son to give His life for me. Friends, we ought to be praising God for this grace gift named Jesus, because He came to take care of our problems, to take care of something we can't handle, to take care of something we can't defeat, to take care of those things we can't control. And that one problem we called sin, that one thing that will keep us out of heaven, that's the only thing that will keep you out of heaven. Jesus came to help us with and deliver us from. And I'll tell you, friends, I don't want to get off on this too much, but any religion and any gospel and any preacher that doesn't share or the gospel take care of the whole problem of sin and get me out of hell, well, that may be good enough for you, but it's not for me. Some religions mess with sin. Some cover it up. Some make God blind to it as if He can't see it. Some, just play games of it. But we need a Savior. We need a rescuer. We need a deliverer, one who saves us from it. I shared this last night with somebody that when I was about 14 years old, 12, 14 years old, I don't remember what it was, but me and my brother and I think my sister Becky, maybe Bruce was there, I'm not sure who all was there, we went swimming one time at the Sacramento River. And the Sacramento River is just not a safe place to be. A lot of people drown in it. Usually a couple a year would drown in that river because there was undercurrents and all that stuff. And we went swimming down there. And I went out there and I was swimming and have a good time. And the next thing you know, I was pulled under. And I came up about 30 yards, 30 feet probably, it seemed like 30 yards, down from where I was. And I came up and I was scared to death because that all happened without me thinking about it. And I was already out of breath. I was already hyperventilating. And I just started swimming with all my worth, trying to get back to the shore, back to where I was. And I was running out of breath. I was running out of energy. I was growing weak. And I can remember then my brother John, that's sitting right here, calling out, "Roger, don't swim against the current, swim with it." And I couldn't do it. And he swam out and he helped me swim sideways and get to shore. And I believe today probably it saved my life. Friends, he was a rescuer. He was a savior. He was a deliverer. Now, if John would have just stayed out there and said, "Hey, Roger, you know, you're doing okay. I know you're out in the middle of the water, you're dying, you're drowning, and things aren't going too good, but hey, you know, maybe you'll see me over at the shore one of these days." Friends, a rescuer doesn't leave you in your mess. A rescuer of sin doesn't leave you in your sin. And listen, I know a lot of people in this world today who want to talk about their sin problems, but you know what they're looking for? They're looking for somebody to give them something that will save them from the results of sin without saving them from sin itself. They want a get-out-of-jail-free card. The problem which leads to death they don't take care of. They want to be able to go on living sinfully, living their own lives, get them out of hell, get them into heaven, but they don't want to live for Jesus. They don't want to serve Jesus. They don't want to give their life to Jesus. They don't want to leave their sins behind. They love darkness rather than light. And friends, it can't be done. It can't be done. And so tonight, I want to bring you with all of my heart and all the praise of my heart that I can muster up in preaching. The answer, his name is Jesus, deliverer, rescuer, savior. And friends, first of all, he can save us from the acts of sin, or else he is not a savior at all. Friends, a savior doesn't leave you in the mess. A savior takes you out of the mess and gives you freedom, gives you new life, delivers you. You remember some of that mess I talked about Sunday night? Murder, lying, drug addiction, homosexuality, molestation, premarital sex, pornography, stealing, malicious gossip, slander, abusing women, abusing children, cheating, and the list went on. And friends, we need to get saved from that stuff and from the power that stuff can have on our lives, because they that do such things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, right? I don't even know if we believe that anymore. When we read all those passages in the New Testament, they that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of... Do you still believe those? Go through the list, man. There's some pretty personal things stuff in there. A lot of things people do and think, well, I'm still going to heaven anyway, but it says they shall not. And friends, the thing about sin is every day we continue with it, it gets a hold and a stronger hold on our lives, to the point sometimes where we can't get rid of it to save our souls. And sin becomes habit and sin becomes addiction. And we need a savior. We need a rescuer. We need somebody to deliver us from that stuff. Somebody had to come to help us, and his name is Jesus. And friends, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I remember one of my terrible sins was smoking. Now, I'm not going to debate tonight whether you think smoking is a sin or not. It's not mentioned in the Bible. People like to argue about it. I know it was for me, okay? I know it was for me. But I got addicted to those things. And I remember at times I would get under conviction about it, and I'd feel guilty about it, even before I was a Christian, even before I gave my life to Christ. And I knew it was wrong. I grew up knowing it was wrong. And those things I knew were killing me, and every once in a while I'd be driving down the road and smoking a cigarette, and I'd get that smoker's cough and that sore throat stuff that comes from that, and I thought, I hate these things. And sometimes I'd just literally throw a pack of cigarettes out the window and just decide to quit. So I added to my sins littering. And a few days later, I would be back at it again, and I couldn't quit those things to save my soul for anything. I couldn't do it. Maybe you have some other problem, sexual sin, homosexuality. Maybe you are one of those constant liars. I've known a lot of them. Maybe it's drinking and maybe it's stealing. I don't know what it might be. Maybe it's pornography. That's an epidemic in today's world. But thank God, friends, I want you to know I found a Savior. I got down on my knees. I poured my heart out to God. I confessed my sins. And not only did He forgive and deliver me from that sin, but He did it from all the sins I even knew about. The drugs, the swearing, the lying, the stealing I was doing. All I was stealing to buy my drugs. I mean, I was living in a pit, and He saved and He rescued me from all that. Why? One, because He loves me, but two, because He is a Savior. He is a deliverer. He is a rescuer. And no matter where we catch ourselves, no matter what we're doing, if we will turn to Him, He will save us from our sins. Amen. And if there's someone or anyone here today or tonight that has a problem of committing some sin or sins, maybe some other area that's gotten a hold of your life, there are two things you need to know. One, you are headed to death and hell. For they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And the wages of sin is death. But two, you can get to God. And you can get to God through Jesus Christ, the Savior, who is well able to deliver and rescue you from all your sins. You see, friends, we have to believe it again. That's what faith in Jesus really is. It's not His existence. It's not that He's out there someplace. It's placing your faith in Him to save you from your sins. And the drunkard can be saved from his drinking, and the liar from his lying, and the cusser from his cussing, and the sex addict from his sex addiction. And friends, I guarantee this, if you will repent and get a hold of Jesus Christ the Savior, God can so work a miracle in your life and in your heart and in your soul, and even in your mind, that you can live free from all that used to bind you. I know because I've experienced it. So don't let some lie of the devil and doctrine say that we can't help but live in sin deceive you. There is a Savior. There is a deliverer. There is a rescuer. And the Bible says this, and I read the passage, you will be a new creation. Not act like one. Not try to be different by your own power. But literally by the grace of God be made a new creation in Christ, with old things passed away and all things become new. And that happens because you've been rescued, saved from those things, not in them. Well, praise God, dear friends. I found it true. Have you? Have you heard the words of Jesus to your soul? You're forgiven. You've been set free. Have you heard those words? Friends, He still gives us that kind of grace, that kind of freedom. He has that kind of power. This doesn't have to be some long, drawn-out process, but an instantaneous work of Jesus Christ in your life that sets you free today, now, and He rescues you. I was talking to one of my Pentecostal friends not too long ago, and he, I don't know why Pentecostals don't get it, the same holiness thing we do, because they believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit and all that stuff. They don't deal with the sin issue enough. But the thing is, I'm talking to this guy, and he said, well, we can't help but sin. And I says, well, do you believe Jesus Christ can heal people? Yeah. I mean, you're telling me He can heal people and he can't save you from your sins? I says, that doesn't make sense to me. This is Jesus Christ who raised the dead. Every Pentecostal believes that. Man, he can put an arm on your arm where there's no arm and do all this. Pentecostals are great, all that. And I says, if you believe he can do that, why can't you believe he can do this and save you? And so I say with 1 John, don't let anyone deceive you about this. Those who are born again do not continue to sin. If they do, 1 John chapter 3 is clear, they are of the devil. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And friends, if you're sitting here tonight still dabbling in known sin, you need to get saved from them. And I'm telling you tonight, only Jesus. But not only do we need a Savior from the acts of sin, but also from what sin has done in our hearts. We need a rescuer. We need a deliverer from the attitudes of sin. Friends, if we don't have a Savior who can deliver me from the heart of sin, then he's not a rescuer at all. He's not a deliverer at all. He's leaving me with the same mess that got me in trouble in the first place. Right? Out of the heart come the issues of life. What was causing me to commit all those sins and all those addictions and everything started right in here, right in my heart. And I needed a deliverer from that, because I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of time finding forgiveness. And I was at the altar all the time asking forgiveness. In fact, I'm glad I still did that. I'm not opposed to that. That's what it takes. But someplace along the line, I needed something to go on inside of my heart that made a difference so I wouldn't have to do that anymore. I didn't want to use 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, the advocacy of Father and all that stuff. That's supposed to be a fire escape, not a daily use. You remember some of those from the first message, those attitudes of sin? Lust, carnal anger, jealousy, pride, unbelief, selfishness, enmity against God. Friends, there is something in your heart that wants sin and demands its own way. And I'm not talking here, please, I'm not talking here about any of that outward stuff. I'm not talking about smoking, drinking, cussing, lying, or any outward sin. No, those should be taken care of when I got saved. I'm talking about a heart that has something in it, and we looked at it quite extensively, that fights God, the full will of God in my life to do what he wants and will not submit to Jesus. And remember, it is enmity against God and not subject to the will of God. And as a Christian, I want to be in the will of God, don't you? I mean, I made up my mind I wanted the will of God when I got saved. And part of that for me when I got saved was being a preacher. I mean, I got called to preach when I was 6 years old over across the river at Orchards Camp. And I ran for that for 24 years because I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to have people talking about me all the time. I wanted to have lots of friends. I wanted to have lots of fun. I wanted to have lots of money. And you can't do that and be a preacher. Well, God takes better care of us than we think. You see, there's something in the heart that fights God. And his full will in your life. You see, you may never take a drink. You may never do a drug, legal or illegal. You may never smoke a cigarette or whatever, but if there's something in your heart when God demands something of you, like, love me with all your heart, and you can't because self is still more important. And it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And you can't because you so easily get bitter and angry toward people. And they do something and it just eats at you and gets at you. And you just almost hate yourself because you don't like it there, but there it is. Or something in your heart that says to pray for those who despitefully use you and turn your other cheek, and you're ready to fight the moment somebody does anything to you. Friends, we need to be delivered from that. We need to be rescued from that. When it says, seek first the kingdom of God. You know, seeking first the kingdom of God is a pretty big thing. It affects everything. It affects the way you raise your kids. I mean, everything. It can be going to church like you should. You know, it can be paying your tithes and offerings, but no, I don't want to do that. It could be going to the mission field. It could be going in, like me, in the Christian service. There's something in your heart that says no. It counts the cost. It looks at the sacrifice, and it says no. There's no freedom just to go all out to the will of God. And I'm not saying you can't pray about it, and you have to think about it, and as you understand God's will perfectly all the time, but when it's all said and done, you go for it. Jesus showed us that in the Garden of Gethsemane, didn't he? When he had other ideas, but God said no, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. And friends, listen, I'm not being overdramatic about this. There are going to be a lot of people in hell who never smoked, cussed, or whatever, but they would never give their hearts to God. And again, we have to be saved from that no in our heart. I'm not going to. I don't care what you say. I don't care what the Bible says. I'm not going to. And so I just want to say this. I want to praise God again. We have an answer. We have a Savior. We have a Deliverer. We have a Rescuer. He is the one, Jesus. He shed His blood. And the Bible says to me that His blood can cleanse from all sin. Amen. And I just want to thank and praise God again that I know this to be true in my own life. It took me a while to get there. It took me some seeking to get there. It took me some digging to get there. But friends, I finally got there where I know I could love God with all my heart. And there was a peace in my heart that I did. And I could love my neighbor as myself. And there was a peace in a heart that I did. And I could give away all my money until I was absolutely poor. And there's a peace in my heart that God's just going to take care of me. And it's okay. I can do that. Because I had a rescuer, a deliverer, a Savior whose grace is sufficient for all of my needs. You see, friends, I can sell out. The Holy Spirit helps me with that. And I can be sold out. I can have a clean heart. I can have a heart where self has died and sin has been cleansed. And I can love and serve Jesus with all my heart. I can love my neighbor as myself. And yes, I praise God. The acts of sin can be forgiven. And the heart, the attitudes of sin can be cleansed. Jesus can do both. Amen. What sin has done in our lives can be defeated. What sin has done in our heart can be cleansed. Friends, do you know that work in your heart tonight? When God comes to you and talks to you, you just say yes. Now, I said it before, let me just say it again. I know sometimes we don't really grasp God's will all the time just like that. I understand that. And sometimes we have to pray through and some of that, but your heart's already saying, yes, you want it. You want His will. Maybe you're just not certain what it is, but you want it. And the no's not there. You just want to glorify His name, serve Him, love Him, be with people, share Christ, make a difference in the kingdom of God, live for Him just as strong as you can while you're alive, and then just be with Him when you're dead. So praise God. We can be saved and we can be cleansed. But friends, there's more, isn't there? We need a Savior, a rescuer, a redeemer, a friend who will save us. And I didn't know, I'm not very good at this, so I just called it from the atmosphere and result of sin. Friends, listen, if I don't have a Savior that saves me from death and hell, then I don't have a Savior at all. I mean, can you imagine living all this life for Jesus? He saved you from your sins. He's given you a clean heart. You're saving and serving. And there's nothing at the end of it for anything? And then you end up in hell anyway? Friends, I don't know about you. I do not want to go to that place. You know, Just preaching about it scares myself. I don't want to go there. And praise God, Jesus can save us from it all. Amen? Remember those, all the sadness that this earth brings into our lives? For what it doesn't say in Revelation again, there shall be no more. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more illness. And I say amen, 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 amen. No more heartbreaks, no more headaches, no more leg aches, no more toothaches, no more nothing, no more pain of any kind, no more disease, no more war, no more death, no more sinful world to deal with, no more devil to deal with. Some of the greatest words in the entire scripture are no more. Why? Because we have a rescuer, a savior, a redeemer. His name is Jesus. And hell, I don't have to worry about that either. Because Jesus has gone to prepare a place in heaven for me. If it weren't so, he would have told me. But it's so. And so he's going to come back and he's going to get me and take me to live where he is. Amen? And friends, listen, hell is death. Everything about Jesus is life. Everything about Jesus is life. And someday, dear friends, I'm going to know that life in its fullness like I've never known it here. And everything about the devil and hell is ugly and hate. And everything about Jesus is love and beauty and wonder. And everything about hell is despair. And everything about Jesus is hope. Someday, friends, we'll be free from every effect that sin has had on us and in this world. And I say, praise his name, no more. You see, the wages of sin in continued act and by nature is death. But the gift, grace of God, is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, I just say it again with all my heart. Jesus, deliverer, rescuer, savior. From the acts of sin, he will wash them away. He'll put them as far as the east is from the west. He'll put them in the sea of forgetfulness. He'll remember them against us no more. He is rescuer, and he rescues me from the heart of sin as well. Those attitudes cleansing the heart, filling with the Spirit, purifying the heart, sanctifying us thoroughly from all sinfulness, and making us pure. And the pure in heart, they shall see God. And friends, if you experience both those two wonderful works of grace in Jesus, but in no other way but in him, someday you'll even be delivered and rescued from the atmosphere of sin and we'll have eternal life. We'll be in heaven. Hallelujah. What a Savior. So friends, tonight, do you need this Savior? Do you need this Redeemer? Do you need this one who left heaven and gave his life in your place and took on all the pain and sorrow and death upon himself so that you could be set free? He wants to deliver you from the acts of sin in your life. And friends, he wants to do it tonight. And he wants to give you a new heart. And he wants to do that tonight. Do you know how excited God is and how excited Jesus is to be able to pour out his grace upon you and meet your need? I mean, I believe God and Jesus, the Son, are just up in heaven waiting for your first move to get to him. I shared the other day how I believe God sanctified my heart before I even got to the altar when my father was preaching at the men's retreat. I believe he's just outstretched his arms and wants us there as soon as we can get there so he can pour out his grace upon us. Friends, don't wait. Jesus is your answer. I don't have another one. There isn't anything else to share about that. Jesus, but he loves you, cares for you, and will deliver you because he is the rescuer and deliverer. So as John comes and leads us in a closing song, friends, I say it again as I said the other day. Today is the day of salvation if we harden not our heart. Would you respond to him? God has been faithful to us tonight and just doing our best to glorify him. Continue to come, continue to pray, continue to prepare your heart, continue to have a yes on the inside as we'll see where God leads us through the rest of this week. But friends, if you need to find a place to get alone with Jesus, if your heart's not completely clear, don't let the Holy Spirit's voice go by. Get alone with him. Pray, settle your soul. Settle your soul. He will run to you. He will meet your need. He will pour himself out upon you. He wants to glorify his name in you and through you. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, it's been a joy to be in church tonight. It's been a joy to know that you've been here. It's been a joy to be with the people of God. It's a joy to hear the music and the songs and Lord, the joy of your word. And so we just praise you and thank you for that all. I pray that you would just continue to bless our evening, continue to minister to souls, continue to work in these meetings, the work that you want to do. Lord, we're doing our best to plant and water, and you bring the increase. So we'll give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.